All righty, folks. It's Wednesday. We love Wednesdays because it means you are here on Big Daddy Radio with your host, Brian Garrity, on ESPN 1700. Right at the top of the 2 o'clock hour with our loving panelists who are here as well. We want you to like us on Facebook because we like and love all of you that are listening to us. So go to Facebook and Big Daddy Radio. You can like us. You can engage in the social media posts that are on there. Not always are they topics that we talk about on the show, but things that are trending in pop culture. Or if you are interested in real estate, my day job, you can go to the Garrity Group page itself, and there's lots of good real estate information in there. So we are back again. The month is flying. It's crazy. I mean, we're halfway through October, and let's welcome our panelists and do a big round of applause for Michael Ellis, our social media director, and all things great when it comes to that. Amanda, yeah, I was like, hello, here he is.
Yes.
Amanda Silber from Movement Mortgage. She'll take care of all your real estate financing, and you'll love her while she's doing it. And she doesn't hold back. She just says it how it is. That's why we make such a good team. And Drew and Alice from the Garrity Group.
Hello.
And Ruby. All right. Yeah. So anyways, guys, I was thinking with our new segment that we have on with our virtual co-host, the things that, you know, every week, like after we leave the show, I'm like, oh, there was one other thing. But this week in San Diego, things that are falling on my radar are as follows. The Dinner Lab. I thought that was interesting, actually. Yeah. So I want to talk to people about that. And then I also want to talk about a little bit about Playboy. Go figure.
Like, big
it's
topic
probably,
right now.
Yeah. It's like people are like, Playboy, what do you mean? Right. Obviously, not a magazine that I generally would opt to read, but I guess we're going to find out if men really do read it just for the articles because Playboy is going to be taking away any nudity. And there's some interesting statistics tied to what they've done online with it already by removing nudity. And, you know, I was going to try not to, but Miley Cyrus, again, she just continues to end up on my radar. So there's those three big things that we're going to hit among several other things. Probably catch up with Amanda about The Voice. I couldn't sleep last night, so I was making sure to stay up and pay attention to it. So definitely, I love when Gwen's a host or when Gwen's a judge. Those are always my favorite seasons.
Yeah, she's beautiful.
Isn't she?
Yeah.
And there are some really good people on there. I agree with them. I thought the two that Adam had and she stole one. Do you know what I'm talking about?
And the two who sang first?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were good.
Yeah.
And then she rescued the girl, right? Yeah, there was the...
Yeah, she rescued the older lady.
And it's kind of like they have the one gal that was singing, and I don't know her name, but she had a record contract at one point, but now she's a DJ in Atlanta. She has her own radio show. She does have a booming voice. I thought that was a really close one to call between the two of them. But
yeah.
that guy's so atypical.
Oh, I liked him way more, honestly.
So, but that guy's so atypical. That's when they all but saying it. You know what I mean?
Well, okay,
it's not
so,
what you would expect.
Well, it was really funny because, like, I'm watching. Well, the whole point, like, he was actually the only person, like, when they were doing the blind auditions, that, like, the show didn't actually show us him at all. Like, they were letting us have, like, the judge experience, if you will.
Okay.
And so then when they panned up and everyone was like, oh, it's a man, like, whoa, you know, because he sounded like an older, mature African-American woman. That's how he sounded, you know, and like there's a sound there. And it was funny, like when they were singing together, I was like, she has like a deeper voice than he does. You know what I mean? Like,
totally does.
She could sound like a little bit more masculine than him. And I was just kind of sitting there like, oh, I like him. He's my favorite. I want him to win. And then he did. And honestly, like she was definitely really good. But I look for like, just like what they always say, like I look for like unique singers. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like she's really good, but there's a lot of really good singers in her category in general. You know what I mean? So she's good. I think she'll have a hard time, but who knows? She could just blow up. And
I agree. I was thinking that with her singing, it's like, it's not that she's got this great voice.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely, there's no question about it, but there are so many people like her mm-hmm. that have that. It's just the right. It's the unique proposition. That's why
she was powerful. She hit all her notes. She was very powerful. Good.
Yeah.
But like, I didn't hear her tone and think, oh, I've never heard that before.
Yeah, I agree. And I know that they kept saying like, and maybe the guy didn't look like maybe what you would
sounded,
think of, right,
yeah,
or what a pop star is going to be, is a tall, a little bit, just a little bit stout, and just probably not what people would expect. And you know, that's what I love about The Voice.
He's probably one of my favorites, actually.
Yeah, that's what I love about The Voice. It's like it cuts down to true talent.
Yeah,
you know, it cuts through all the layers of the show and the, you know, how much they're a showcase, an entertainer. It gets to that at some point. But it's also interesting, the one guy that's on Blake's team that had like the cowboy ally. I'm not in the country, unfortunately. But you know what I'm talking about?
You have to be really, really good for me to like you in country.
Yeah. Or something and really different.
Don't get me wrong. Like, he's had some singers where I'm like, oh, I do really like them. And most of them have been women. Just, I think I have a preference for female singers. But like, if a guy gets up there and I like his song, he's crushing it for country, because like I just never connect really on that level. I didn't like them that much.
I didn't like either one.
Yeah.
Well, I don't like, I'm not, if you go through my music catalog, it's going to be basically all women. There'd be like maybe Michael Bublé or Frank Sinatra. Yeah. I'm just not a big fan of male singers. I've never been a big fan of boy bands or any of that other stuff. So that's me personally. Yeah.
But I like male singers, but women singers move me on a whole other level.
Yes, they tend to emote.
There's something about the high register that really...
I think so, too.
I don't know.
No, I agree with you. And I always thought maybe it was like, because when... I don't know what happened, but I used to be able to sing kind of good in high school. I can't now, but when in high school, I was a soprano in choir, and like I always loved singing soprano, like being in that high pitch area. I always loved that.
Wow. There's a new talent that we didn't know.
I'm not
like
a good singer anymore, guys. Not
well,
at all.
I wonder what happened. I like it, though.
I don't know.
I like
happened.
It. That's a good story. I didn't know too with the they had the two guys that were on there, and I could take it or leave it. But it's kind of interesting with, I try to think I have good variety with music, but I was looking at the AMA nominations, which are coming out.
Yeah.
I was like, who are these people?
Yeah, I was going to say that too. I felt the same way.
Oh, okay. It makes me feel better. Yeah. I was like, is this really the molecules all floating up now? Or what's happening? I don't know what's going on.
I mean, there's a few there that are very recognizable. Obviously, Taylor Swift was there. Sam Smith, which he's one of my favorites. He's nominated. So there's still a few. But yeah, there's a lot of people I was like, who are these people? It makes me feel really old. And I'm only in my 30s. I don't know what's wrong. Music changes so quickly, you know?
And it's just weird. True. It's weird. The nominees for that AMA, they were just all like Wiz Khalifa.
Yeah.
I've heard the name. I have no idea what he does, or maybe I do. I just don't realize it.
No, you do.
Is it one of those things where like you hear it on the radio and you know him, but then you're not?
No idea
you don't know what the names
like.
Are. Right. So I don't know if what your guys' take is on the whole Miley Cyrus thing. I was just reading that now she's going to do a naked concert with the Flaming Lips, who've been around for a while. Mm-hmm. But she's going to tour, and they're going to do one naked show. And I was like, what for? Why? I really, really, really don't get it. I don't understand it. So, like, are you really? Because I feel like some of her music is actually really good, and I don't think she needs to keep like going to these extremes. I mean, what are your thoughts about that?
Oh my God. I have absolutely no desire to see Miley Cyrus's Downstairs. A.
Yeah, I agree.
It just scares me. B, not in general, just hers. B, I agree with you, Brian. She's very talented. And whenever, like, I've seen her on that, like, what is it, the iRadio, not, what is it? Like,
iHeartRadio.
iHeartRadio, like, where they do live performances in studio, and then they post it on the internet. She, like, totally stripped back, like, Wrecking Ball or one of those songs that she did. She stripped it back to just mostly acoustic, and she killed it. Like, her voice really is good.
Yeah.
But it's completely overshadowed by all her BS.
I just don't get it. All the nakedness. I understand that, and I know this is, of course, we're going to go back to my queen, Madonna. But there's purpose. Like, when she was doing things A, she wasn't performing naked, and B, she may have been a little more risque in what she was doing or stuff, but she was more paving kind of the way, opening that door. And I feel like that door is open. And if someone's trying to top that, I don't think getting naked with the flaming lips is the way to go. Especially if I didn't think she was talented. She's a turnoff to me, to be honest. It's just, I have like a, just not a happy, warm, fuzzy. Although I do like some of her music. Like, if I don't know it's her, there's a new song that she has out. I didn't know it was her. I'm like, oh, I like that song. Yeah, and then they're like, oh, that's Miley Cyrus's latest. I think, Drew, you were in the car with me when they played it in the last couple of days. I was like, whoa, that's crazy. I didn't know that was her.
Isn't her new surprise album, like, completely produced by the Flaming Lips?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So it's all kind of like, I just, like, skimmed through it, like, listened to, like, 2 seconds of each song just to kind of hear if there's any difference. But they were all kind of like that, that Flaming Lips vibe, right? Like,
yeah.
I don't even know how to describe
You're right.
it.
Kind of like alternative, rockish.
Yeah, totally different from anything else she had done. Have you guys seen that YouTube video of her covering the Jolene song? Or Jolene?
No.
Oh, it's so good. She does. She has some awesome pipes on that girl. And like, she can sing really well. But you know what? I kind of thought the same thing. I'm super excited about Lady Gaga being on American Horror Story.
Oh, yeah. That's on my radar for sure. Yeah. We have to talk about that.
She's freaking awesome. And I've never been like a huge Lady Gaga fan, and I've grown to respect her more and more over the years because she is a really, really good singer. But I never liked her in the meat dress or in the, you know, crazy outfits and stuff like that, you know, and I don't know.
See her in concert and you'll be a
no,
fan.
I'm sure. But that's the thing, because she's super talented, right?
She is. I know all the theatrics part of it. I know the meat dress was gross.
It's part of it.
Really gross.
Yeah,
you
know, it was, totally.
It's just kind of part of it. Like, she's just always kind of been like that. And her music videos were always really cool and like edgy and like, I don't know. I had a certain level of respect for her for that. I never really like hated on it. You know what I mean? But
like, haters gonna hate.
Yeah. Sometimes you just hate to hate and you don't even realize you're doing it. But like with Miley, I just
don't get it. I don't get it.
Hannah Montana. Like, what the hell?
Right. Well, Hannah Montana turned stoner. No, I'm kidding. Not that we care. I'm just saying, like, we understand you want pot to be legalized. I'm down with that. That's great. I really am. I think that, like, there's a lot of medicinal purposes for marijuana, and, you know, people can make whatever arguments they want to make. I think there's a lot more damage done by alcohol than there is marijuana. But, you know, as I rabbit trail off on that discussion, we could be talking about that all day. I mean, there are definite proven medicinal reasons for people to use marijuana. And if people are getting a card and other people want to judge it because they think like that person really doesn't need it, they're just using it to get access to pot, well, just legalize it, for God's sakes. And we were just having this conversation in our office yesterday. Tax the heck out of it. Yep. I mean, just tax it. The state needs money. It's ridiculous to me. I don't believe it's a gateway drug. That's just my personal opinion. I think that's just an excuse.
It's just too much of a laid back thing to really make you want to like go out and party. You know what I mean? Like, why?
It's like takes all your motivation
out
of you.
You just, like people just want to like lay back and chill. Like, that's it. Or munch on food. I just don't get it. I don't get why. Why it's being labeled.
So it might not be good for your waistline, depending on how often you're indulging. If you do get the munchies,
eating the flaming hot Cheetos on the couch.
Yeah. Oh.
That sounds so good. Yum. Right now.
Do you like flaming hot Cheetos?
My stomach doesn't, but yeah.
It's the only thing, like, when you're eating them and the red that you've got in it, I'm like, what is in that that makes that red so prominent?
So horrible.
So, yeah, I'm glad you guys agree. Anyway, with the whole Miley Cyrus thing, I think that's just, she's going to get to the point where she's going to turn off so many people that she's going to lose her demographic. I mean, I really think she is.
Well,
who is her demographic?
I don't even know, to be honest.
Going back to what you were saying about Madonna, I mean, at one point, people were saying the exact same thing. I'm not comparing the two because they are very different. But, you know, Madonna was pushing the envelope and opening the door, as you were saying. And maybe Miley Cyrus thinks she really is. And maybe, who knows, she is with a certain demographic. We don't know. But I don't know. I think it's, you know, it's kind of interesting to see what people are doing to try to be different. And she's trying something. We'll see if it works or not. Personally, as I agree with you guys, I don't really like it. But some people
need to get, we need to get like an 18-year-old in here and see what they say about Miley Cyrus.
I'm curious to what the parents think, too. Like, you know, obviously, if you read the commentary about the people that are like pro Miley, that obviously it's coming from her camp. You know, they're saying like the people that are her demographic or fans are not the people that were the age they were when Hannah Montana was popular, that right. they're growing up with her. But that doesn't mean they need to grow up and be naked with her, for God's sake.
Well, I mean, Mike makes a good point, though. Like, and I thought about that, too. You know, I'm sure people were saying almost verbatim what we're saying about her right now, but in the end, if she wants to go perform naked, whatever.
Just don't have it on every news channel. Right. I just feel like that is taking like the Kylie Jenner thing that we'll talk about, but it's one of those things where it's just like
you're overseeing it in the media.
Like, okay, we get it. She likes to be naked. She likes to smoke pot. Got it. We got it the first time. We got it the second time. We got it all through the MTV Video Awards. It's like talk about taking some of the dignity away from that was always like an edgy award show.
And no, it was horrible this year.
It was bad. Even those outfits she was wearing, I can't believe there were actual designers to those. I thought she just threw things on to cover her private parts.
Right.
Well, I didn't know. I'm serious, too.
All I can say is that she has a great marketing strategy. She's getting attention. All the media is grabbing attention on it. So if the naked
we're talking about her.
Yeah, we're talking about her right now. And so is so are a lot of other media outlets. So it's working for her in that aspect to get the attention.
Well, and I was thinking, especially because we keep, you know, sort of, not really, but sort of comparing her to Madonna and the way Madonna was back in the day. The difference is Madonna is a badass bitch. And Madonna also is an entertainer. And she's a dancer. And she was like, she was being like she was edgy, but she also entertained. Miley Cyrus, all she really has is her voice. Like, to be honest, like that is her entertainment value, is her vocals
and being naked
and sticking her tongue out.
But that's what I mean. That's what I mean. If she was going to be naked, like be naked for a reason, or like, you know, entertain in some certain way, like pole dance or something. I don't care, but don't just be naked just to be naked.
Maybe
like,
that's all she can really pull. That's her bag of tricks she pulls out of her hat. That's all she's got. Besides her voice.
Maybe she thinks people will get bored. I mean,
I don't know.
Like, what would you say if she wanted to be naked because she wanted like to like be part of the Free the Nipple campaign for breastfeeding?
Well, hey, then at least there's a correlation to it. You know what I'm saying? It's not just random, like, free the nipple. I'm down, whatever. I know people are like, if ladies want to breast, a whole nother topic. But totally free the nipple if you want to.
I don't think she's doing it for any reason besides media attention.
And go ahead.
Sorry, and I also think she likes to be naked. I mean, she just enjoys it.
Yeah.
And I think, too, she brings up about her sexuality. Yeah. Like, she doesn't want to be labeled so she's pansexual, whatever the hell that is. It's like they're just going to keep coming up with more and more and more names for this. It's like, how about we just cut it back? What people decide to do in the confines of their own bedroom is their business.
We don't need to define it.
Yeah, we don't need to know about it. You don't need to define it. You don't need to put it on blast. It's like, my God, it's like you watch some of it and you wonder, like, are you not getting any? Is that the reason that you're doing this? But I didn't even know that pansexual thing and all that. It's like, that's the last thing we needed was another categorization.
That's when you don't see sexuality, right? You're just attracted to what you're attracted to.
Yeah.
Basically. There's like no labels, no limits, no anything. So anyways, we'll be back, folks. It's Wednesday here on Big Daddy Radio with our beautiful panel. And yes, we have lots more to talk about, including nakedness, including marijuana, and including Playboy. We'll be right back. Folks, we're back. That was my aunt. Next week, I'll do it. Next week, I'll hit that Britney chord just right. But you're back on Big Daddy Radio here with your host, Brian Garrity, and our panel on ESPN 1700. We're every Wednesday at 2 o'clock. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Big Daddy Radio. Also, you can go to the BigDaddyRadio.com website and feel free to email. We take all of your emails. Most of them are all very loving and very supportive, which we love and we appreciate. But hey, you know, not everybody agrees, and that's okay. You don't have to. So we're here hopefully to make a difference and give you an hour of some good entertainment, as well as we're usually trending pretty close to or above. Where it's kind of amazing. I feel proud of all the four of us. Yeah. I mean, we are trending with, you know, where pop culture is. And I'm really happy. We have our finger on the pulse.
Yes.
So before we went to break, we were talking about Miley Cyrus. So let's put a lid on that and just say bye-bye, Miley. I'm sure she's going to come up again somewhere along the line. Let's see how many weeks we can go without talking about her. And then
I can help with that.
Hashtag AmandaPass will take care of it. So, like, like, shut it down if it comes up. And then the other thing, because I do want to talk about Lady Gaga in American Horror Story. Did everybody watch the first episode here?
You bet I did.
No, I haven't.
What? What is wrong with you?
I know. Well,
you're
going to
have spoilers now.
You guys please can't tell me anything.
But I've been to our listeners. It's not fair.
I've been like in a bubble trying to
leave
avoid
the room,
because
Michael.
I haven't.
Bye, Felicia.
I guess we can kind of talk about it without spoilers.
We can.
Okay, we can be generic enough, right?
Yeah.
So when it came on, we had DVR'd it. I totally, fell asleep. Probably stoned to sleep, who knows. But I fell asleep, and I was just, like, super exhausted. And so when I woke up, and Wes was like, I wanted to watch that tonight. And I was like, yeah, I don't know. Let's watch it tomorrow. I want to be able to, like, digest the whole thing. So we watched it the next day, and I was like, wait, where is Gaga? Which I'm not giving anything away. But I'm just saying it's like, it's a very interesting, I thought it started off really well.
Oh my God.
There's not a lot of dialogue, actually, if you think about it.
That's true.
I thought that was interesting.
But that's cool. It's nice when you don't really realize it, I guess, because it's so visually stimulating that, like, and actually, that's a really good point, because a lot of shows I watch, like, I love, like, period pieces. Like, I love Game of Thrones because of where it's set. I love, like, Mad Men because, where it was set. Like, visually, I loved those shows. So I think that has a lot to do with that.
Yeah.
There was so much going on.
Yeah.
The hotel was, like, so art deco and beautiful and awesome.
You know what I loved about it is that it was, like, frozen in time, because I thought it was going to be set in that time. Like, that's kind of what they portrayed when they, advertised it.
Yeah.
But it's, like, it's more of, like, modern day with this, like, weird hotel.
Like one of those hotels that are in LA that they hadn't got to yet.
Right.
That still has all the retro, kind of elements to it.
Yeah.
But I just know, like, we're really not giving much away, but it's weird about the dialogue part, because I keep saying, like, I love reality shows anyway. So let's just put that out there. Everyone that listens for the last 3 years knows that. But I also have a very, fine respect for well-written TV shows, because there are so few. Like The Good Wife. If you haven't watched it, it is such a if you got to go back to season one, watch it from the beginning. Juliana Margulies, she's amazing. She's amazing in everything she does, but she's amazing as a lead in that show. But if you watch it from episode one in season one, I would challenge you to say anything but the writing is beyond above par. It's excellent. And I always laugh when I think of you in The Notebook, Amanda I'm talking to. Because, don't just assume. But with the American Horror Story, I think that they didn't need to have a lot of dialogue. I think it left a big door open for where are all these storylines going to go. Because you really don't know.
Oh, we have no idea.
It's really cool. They didn't, so everything's very open. Let's
the
just say,
Sarah
leave
Paulson
it that.
The storyline is like such a mystery to me. I still have no idea what's going on.
Right. Well, and the whole thing. Well, I guess
you're
gonna
have to watch.
No,
you know how much of a fan I am of that show.
Okay,
yeah,
we'll switch
to a different topic. Although for people that are listening, you're gonna have to get caught up by next week, because we will talk about this. So if you haven't by next week, we are gonna talk topicality on the show.
I promise.
Okay, but so it's worth checking out American Horror Story with Gaga starring in it. They definitely knocked it out of the park. For anybody who had any questions or doubts about her acting capabilities, I can say they could be dismissed pretty easily, summarily dismissed. But we need to move on, because we don't want to tell Mikey too much. Instead, we'll put down what I'm excited for is the Madonna concert coming to town in 2 weeks.
Oh,
so
yes.
That's going to be exciting. To be 56 and still selling out arenas and just knocking it out of the park. Now, in your defense about American Horror Story, I've had to remove myself from going to YouTube videos, because it's like the concert. Yeah. I'm like, I'm just gonna look for a minute really quick, and then I'll start on the ones where like it goes dark and everyone starts cheering, and I'm like, no, X out. I don't want to know how she comes out, because she's usually pretty creative with her entrances. So, on a lot of levels, there's a lot of mad respect for Madonna. I probably would be loyal to her to a fault, like I think many people are.
You are loyal to a fault.
Yeah. And there are, true. You know, and haters are going to hate. I mean, my first place that I lived when I moved down here to go to college, when you came into the house, I had all these Madonna posters that were framed. It was like, my parents would be like, what is this? And like, you're in college. What is this Madonna? You know, and back then, at very first, my mom was like, you know, she's a slut, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no. You don't understand. So, and my mom grew to love her. I mean, there's just, she's definitely has an attitude and she knows her place. And I she's not shy about it.
Young Brian had a shrine.
I did.
To Madonna.
I did. So, I like Amanda pointed out, to a fault, actually. So, speaking of, this is something I want to talk about with the panelists that should have been on my radar was loyalty. So, like, loyalty on lots of different levels, mm-hmm. but especially with brand loyalty or people loyalty. I don't know. I find when I'm in relationship with somebody and you to a fault, even that's really perfect, is like, is I'm loyal. I just am. And I don't understand the consumers that are, I'm not saying you maybe don't need to try new things, but it's sort of like if you have a loan officer or you have a real estate agent and you have, you've done business with them, why would you not stay loyal to them? Why is it that they would have to stay in contact with you every month or send you a card every couple of weeks so that like you're at top of mind, top of presence? And I'm not saying that that's necessarily the case, but that industry in particular, since that's our day job, Amanda and I, Amanda does the loans, I do the real estate sales. There's a lot of push for that staying at top of mind, top of presence. And I kind of go back to like, I'm so loyal to people that like, I would just pick up the phone and call. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't think twice about it. I would call Amanda. I wouldn't be like, oh, you know what? I called her and she was busy. So I just went on to the next person. It's like, after, especially like after you've done a bang up job on for someone and you would hear like, oh, they refinanced with XYZ mortgage. And you're just like, I don't get that. And I just find that, and I'm not actually even drawing this off of my experiences, although it's happened. And you just wonder, people are like, well, I heard you were sick or whatever. And it's like, no, it's like, I'm here. So I don't know. Where is the line with loyalty in terms of professionalism, in terms of even personal relationships? What are you guys like individually as panelists for our listeners getting to know you? What is your vibe on that? I think I'm just loyal to a core once, unless someone's proven me to be wrong. Then, okay, that's different. But if somebody's not proving me to be wrong, why wouldn't you stay loyal? I don't understand. I really don't. Am I missing something?
No. I mean, I have a couple opinions on that one because obviously we're in the same field, so I have the same experience with clients. And I actually just had one today where I had had a conversation with them and I had been honest with them about, you know, what they could afford, what they wanted their monthly payment to be, and didn't push them beyond what they felt comfortable with, but they wanted to be approved for more money. And so the agent just told me that they're 2 weeks away from closing escrow on a property and like no one ever told me what was going on, and they got approved for a lot more than what we had approved them for. And I'm like, well, I had approved her for what she told me she was comfortable with,
right?
You know,
right?
And I didn't want to push her and say, okay, well, if you put more money down or if you take a loan from your 401k or if you do this, which we did have a preliminary conversation of that, but if she tells me no, I listen. Yeah. Because I want her to be comfortable. I don't want her to be going into default in a couple years. Yeah.
Or,
exactly.
Or being house poor.
Or being house poor.
Exactly.
And so I was like really disappointed in the situation, you know, it kind of bummed me out for a second. And I'm like, well, that's kind of how it is. You know, you win some, you lose some. But I also felt like I left the client down because maybe I didn't open up the communication enough to where she felt comfortable, or she wanted me to push her a little bit more. You know what I mean? So it was kind of a learning situation. But, you know, and I had worked really hard on that file. We actually were in escrow and fell out. So, you know, it wasn't like we just met for a second and then,
right.
You know, she ended up going with someone else. We had worked together for months. So I have with me, with agents, it's a little different, but with me, you know, sometimes rate comes down to who they choose, whether, you know, we're very competitive with rates, so that's not usually an issue for us. Every once in a great while, they might find someone who's like an eighth of a percentage better, but they're going to be horrible service and they're going to close in 60 days and they're going to lose the house. So, you know, you get what you pay for, you know, mm-hmm. And sometimes when I build those relationships with people and make them understand and see the value in what we have to offer, then they don't question that, you know, and they do come back. But I still have to keep being in front of them because me as a consumer, I'm the worst. Like, I am loyal, but if I lose your contact information and for some reason I can't remember your name, best believe I'm on to the next.
Because I had a similar kick in the butt. Yeah. So I get it. Yeah. It was very rattling to me that, like, what do you mean? It's like, I'm here. I'm fine. It's like, I've been doing the radio. I'm on Facebook.
Yeah.
It's somebody that I would interact with that would be like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Your property manager did it within their own confines. It's like, why didn't you reach out and still call, even if you weren't going to use me, per se?
Use me as a resource.
Your
feelings get hurt, for sure, when someone doesn't at least ask your opinion, because we are good at what we do, and we hope that our friends will use us as resources, whether they use us or not. You know, we can at least offer another perspective, but... Mm. You definitely have to stay in front of your clients. I can't put the blame on them because my feelings get hurt. I have to make sure that I'm in front of them. And with that particular client, as an example, I felt like if I had maybe been slightly more aggressive or maybe kept in touch with her just a little bit more, we could have come together on the terms that she wanted and made it happen for her. And I felt bad because I let the agent down and I felt like I let the client down. But in the end, some people would just think, well, screw her, like, she totally used you and then dumped you for the next person who just told her what she wanted to hear, which happens a lot too, when I was trying to just look out for her, you know?
So. You're like me. See, I'll still engage.
Yeah.
You know, if that happens. And it's rare that it happens, like you said, it's one of those things where, like, so being in front of somebody and having a presence in real estate and in mortgage, I'm thinking, like, I don't hear from my doctor every month. Lawyer that I would use if I was using, I don't hear from them every month. It's like, but
it's
almost
different.
Like with... It's interesting, though. So, like, is real estate relegated to being, like, a car salesperson? I don't know. I feel like the level of professionalism, people should be using their real estate agent and their mortgage professionals. Look, most of my clients, if something goes wrong with the house, or even if there's something good, they're like, do you have a recommendation for a contractor? Mm-hmm. Do you know somebody who does drywall? That kind of resource I always want to be. Or, like, totally. In your position, like, they're coming up to a 2-year mark. They're like, do you think it makes sense? Like, I could save a little bit here. Maybe you can do more of a full-blown analysis for them. I think you not pushing that person to go higher is, like,
the right thing.
I respect that because that's the right thing to do. And then you're kicking yourself. It's like, well, geez, I almost should have just said here. Here's the max you qualify for.
Totally.
Go crazy.
Yeah.
And when you lose your house in a year, don't say I didn't tell you so.
Yeah, I should have put you on adjustable rate mortgage so that you could have lowered your payments, you know, because that would have gotten you the house that you wanted. But I didn't think after our conversation that wasn't the option that you wanted, because we talked about adjustable rates and all that stuff, too. But, yeah, I don't know. Sometimes when I try to do what's best for the client, it kicks me in the butt. So.
Yeah, it's an ass kicker.
Well, it doesn't make sense that it's different for real estate than it is for, like, a lawyer or a doctor or whatever, because the amount of work that you as an agent, Brian, and that you, Amanda, as a mortgage professional, the amount of work and the amount of hours that you put in, not to mention, like, overtime, like, there is no overtime in that profession, you know, but you do, like, you're constantly emailing late at night, you're taking phone calls late at night and on the weekends. To me, it just doesn't make any sense why there shouldn't be that same kind of loyalty. I think maybe part of it is that the consumer doesn't realize how much actual work is put into it.
Oh, they have no idea.
They just think that you're like,
they don't.
You just have a license and you collect a commission paycheck at the end, which is not at all what it is. And that's what's frustrating.
You know, and that's a really good point, Drew, because, like, we've done a really good job if they feel like that it was really easy. You know what I mean? They have no idea
We did to make that transaction seamless. I know. We unfortunately have to take a break, but this is a really important complication. That tells you where my mind is. This was a little deviation here, but I wanted to talk about kind of brand loyalty too in the millennials and just loyalty. It started out with our profession. I apologize, but it still was very relevant example. So we'll be right back, folks. You're on ESPN Radio, Big Daddy. We'll be right back. I go on too many dates. We're back on Big Daddy Radio here on ESPN 1700 AM. And you can also listen to us. It streams live on BigDaddyRadio.com. Our director of social media, who does all things wonderful for small businesses and consulting, has it set up so that it's just easy. You just have to click on Listen Live. It will take you to the player, and you're with us. And we also always post the replays of the show on the website as well. So we did. We were talking a little bit about loyalty is where I was starting off, and it got stuck kind of in the real estate end of things with Amanda and I, so I apologize. But it was relevant. I mean, you could apply that to other professions as well and just know that, you know, what brings loyalty about. And I just was thinking, maybe I'm just old school networker. And interestingly enough, I keep seeing articles popping up that say, like, the real true clients are going to come from your old school networking efforts. Your sphere of influence is going to be stronger than any social media. Social media should be your icing on the cake, not the way you build your business.
Right.
Now, there's going to be people that are going to say, no, that's not true. That's not the direction it's headed. Yet all these pundits are coming out and saying like 67% of people polled rather work with someone that they had like a warm type of referral to rather than a lead generated converted from the internet. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I do agree with some of that. I do think that as social media continues to be very, very influential in everything that we do with business and personal lives, et cetera, you as a marketer, you're building yourself up with someone, you can actually build a long-standing relationship with them, of them coming to you for advice on your social media pages and looking to you for as a source of information, which can be somewhat similar to calling them on the phone or meeting them, that person, or working with them over a long period of time. So I think social media can do that, but it doesn't happen necessarily as quickly as it might if you know the person mutually.
See, I think I'm not an expert, obviously, but I in my opinion, I think that the social media presence adds a level of credibility.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
However, as a consumer, I would much rather sit in front of someone and have a conversation with them. Or even a phone call is better than, like, you know, texting back and forth or Facebook messaging or whatever.
Of course. And eventually that's the goal. But, you know, at least to start, I'm specifically, if you don't know the person and you're just seeing them over and over again on social and you're like, oh, hey, that person has given some really cool advice about whatever it is, X, Y, and Z. And then later on, when you're actually really ready to do something, you're, again, top of mind. You've already established some of a credibility with that person without even meeting them yet. And that adds to it, like you were saying, adds to the when you actually talk to them and do business with them.
So it's just like another layer that helps, for sure.
For sure.
And we know Ricky Silber is one of the internet conversion geniuses. So that's Amanda's husband, who's a real estate agent, and does a really great job as well. So, you know, and that's why sometimes people ask me, like, why do you talk about other real estate agents on your show?
Well, there's plenty to go around.
Right. I mean, it doesn't make sense. I just feel like people are just so weirdly protective. It's like, I think that's great what Ricky does. I love it. And I love you. And it's like, and my husband does mortgages. And I definitely promote you. Are you kidding? It's like this. There's, and he feels the exact same way what you just said about it as we do. I mean, we're just mutually supportive 100%. Yeah. There's plenty of it to go around, especially if you want competency. That's kind of the key.
And that's the thing, too, with personalities, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes someone you meet might work better with your personality than Ricky's, or vice versa. Or, you
I
know
agree.
What I mean? Like, there's, you're going to attract the clients that are going to work well with you, because that's the kind of people that you want to work with. And same with Ricky. And I'm sure you guys have completely different work styles. Not that one's better than the other. That's just how it is, you know?
But so, it's like you said, but it would be best suited for the personality, though.
Exactly.
Even though the work styles are different. Yeah, I agree with that. Totally. Michael's Dinner Lab is something that's come to San Diego that's kind of interesting. We're going to have a contest to give away two tickets. And we're listening next week, so we'll give you the specifics. But tell people a little bit more about Dinner Lab. I think it's kind of an interesting concept. I was just reading more about it.
Yeah.
But
so, yeah, it's actually I believe it's already in 30 or so cities around the country. It's just now coming to San Diego, which is pretty cool. But it's more of an experimental sort of dinner event where people have a membership to it, and they have events that happen every so often, and you're able to go to a pop-up restaurant. You don't know what the location is going to be, and then it's usually 24 hours. The restaurant, it just pops up and then disappears the next day, and you usually get to experience dining with chefs that are not really well-known or just up and coming, so you can experience a whole new sort of experience with that. They have music, typically, network some cool with people that like food, and that kind of thing.
And so, foodies, cool, you know, foodies is such a big thing right now.
Yeah.
I think that it's a great concept. I love the pop-up concept. And I think we'll talk more about it next week.
For sure.
Give it some more promotion. But it's something we definitely want to get behind and, you know, and really be there. I know this week was the finale of The Real Housewives of Orange County. I don't know that the panel is not watching. So for those of you that watched, it ended with Tamara being baptized, which I thought Tamara's a definite friend of the show, although I was interesting, to say the least. And the reunions are always the best anyways. And supposedly the next 3 weeks, well, it's a three-part reunion, so you know they got a lot of meaty content. Believe it or not, Amanda Silver, they did. So, but Heather Dubrow, who's on there, who I really like.
I was just going to ask you, because I love her too. I was just going to ask you, how far along is she with her house?
They're, like, it's another 6 months, 22,000 square feet in Newport Coast. You know, hey, it's
a castle.
It's ridiculous. It's like a hotel.
I was we're like already thinking about like maybe trying to add some square footage in a bedroom with the baby coming and stuff. And I'm like, I just can't ever imagine having like a house that big, half that size. Like,
I mean, don't wait, 22,000 square feet. I mean, that's like a little mini condo complex or something. Yeah. It's crazy.
When does Housewives of Beverly Hills come on?
I don't know. They're Real Housewives of Atlanta. For some reason, I think because of the Teresa situation, they're bringing her back on the New Jersey. So that should be the next one that's coming. So they did this four-part Teresa checks in. I missed it, but it's like, I don't want to hear her calling from jail and see those poor kids suffering. Talk about taking advantage of that family, but I guess, but they bumped it and they put Real Housewives of Atlanta is coming back early. And if you ever watched The Facts of Life, it was when you guys were molecules floating, but maybe you saw it at Nick at Night or something.
I did.
I watched it at Nick at Night.
So, you know, Kim Fields, Tootie?
No.
Oh, okay. She was one of the characters on it. She's going to be one of the women that are cast, and they're bringing back Sheree, who I couldn't stand anyways. It should be an interesting season, but Nene's gone. So, you know, she's on to bigger and better things. I mean, that Housewife franchise opens up so many opportunities for people. It's crazy.
Sure.
I don't know if you guys have ever seen that Amy Phillips, the comedian that does the Housewives, and Drew and I like listen to it. She does such a bang on Shannon Bedore. It's hilarious. It's hilarious. So, I mean, you've got to watch it to get it, but she's an interesting gal in and of herself. But the way she imitates her is so fun. And Amy's got a show on Sirius that basically focuses on the housewife chain, which, you know, to have a whole show on it, it's kind of crazy.
Just watch one OC episode so you can kind of get the hang of the characters, and then watch Amy Phillips and you'll die.
Oh yeah, you'll be in right. You have there, like, if you just went and Googled like Amy Phillips, Shannon Bedore, and you watched, you'd be like, okay. But if you watched an episode and you saw with Shannon in it, it's like, talk about nailing it. And they asked her, like, how do you do those imitations so good? And she's like, you've got to listen to the person's diction and the way that they talk. And she's like, and with Shannon, she ends everything with an exclamation point the way she talks. Yeah. So, like, if you're going to have 9 lemons, put 9 in a bowl.
Yeah.
So you've got to then to feng shui and stuff. But you've got to see, like, so whatever the end part of that sentence is, you've got to really make it exclamatory, you know, ending with an exclamation point.
And she speaks in the third person. So she's like, Shannon Bedore says.
Yeah, it's hilarious. Really, and then they have the new character they had on, Megan King Edmonds. She talks to, like, she said you got to add an extra consonant for every word that she says, and she has her down. She's getting her down better, but she's right. So it's interesting how these comedians that imitate really draw attention. You know, I got off topic about Playboy. I wanted to bring it up because I think it's interesting.
Yeah.
So they are taking nudity out of the magazine. Online, they took nudity out. The readership went from 4 million to 16 million.
What?
Yeah, with removing all nudity from the Playboy online. Now the actual physical magazine, which is plummeted to like 800,000 in circulation per month from like 5 million or something. It was high, 2 million, 5 million. But they're going to remove any nudity. So we're going to find out, I guess, if guys really are reading Playboy for the articles. That used to be the old joke back in the day.
Yeah.
What do you guys think? We're on our last minute here.
It's funny because, like, do have any of us really, like, opened up a Playboy magazine in a while.
Not without throwing it and running down the street. It is Halloween. I got to go. No, I'm joking.
I think in high school, I remember that joke being around, and I would look at the articles, and they were good interest. They were good articles.
They were.
And actually, when I first got together with Ricky, we were like, you know, combining books and stuff, and he had like, I don't know, almost a foot and a half wide stack of Playboy magazines. I'm like, what the hell is this? And he's like, are you kidding? They have really good articles. And I'm like, okay, whatever. You're full of crap. And then, you know, I've noticed that he was right.
They really do, yeah.
So, I mean, well, the online presence, I mean, from 4 million to 16 million, that's only in a couple months. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Right.
So, and, you know, Hugh Hefner's daughter is the one that took over the ship and is the one producing it. So, you know, good for them if they're taking that away. It's like, you want to have nudity in a magazine for somebody to go look at? That's great, too. But I thought that's a bold move for Playboy to do. Very bold.
Well, that's what they're known for. I mean, it started in the 50s. I think Marilyn Monroe was the first person that posed for Playboy, and that was what they're known for. They were sort of breaking a sort of taboo, especially in the United States, about what we feel about with nudity. It was a really groundbreaking thing to do when they launched Playboy. So I don't know.
We've always been on the classier side for that, for sure.
Right.
Right. And it was Marilyn Monroe. That is true. Yeah. And versus like Hustler or some of the other ones.
I don't think you can really compare them again because they were,
But like when I was a kid and you go to the grocery store or the liquor store, they'd have like the things that covered it, but you could see like Hustler and Playboy and, you know, all that good stuff. And my brother had his stash under his bed and I'd be like, what are these magazines? I should have known that something wasn't right. But anyways, folks, I love my panel. We love our listeners. You guys are so great to us. Thank you for being here every week. Remember, go to BigDaddyRadio.com. You can leave us any comments and suggestions and like us on Facebook. Until then, be safe and have a great week. Love you guys.